He thinks that he
Okay.
gave me cancer because we were playing and he kicked
Huh?
me. But like,
Okay.
no, I tell everything I tell everybody, I'm like, cancer's already in your body. It's just how it's activated.
Let's say he never kicked it or nobody ever kicked it. Could it have stayed dormant for till you're 90
We
years
don't know
old?
this. I was the first kid in Montreal to get the rotationplasty. Me, my dad disappeared mid chemotherapy treatment.
So how do you have your real
My real
nine-year-old foot?
9-year-old foot is right here.
Okay. Well, this is so interesting.
Very
Oh my gosh.
I had one leg, so like obviously like people like the guys would look at me and be like, you're not pretty. I did have like a really hard time in high school with my like body image. From seven,
Okay.
eight, nine, I was very insecure. Yeah, I'm strong, but like I had no choice to be strong. Like if I wasn't strong, I would have died. I'm like, oh, like whatever. I had a little crush on him too. I was like, oh, he's
Yeah.
cute. Like
Okay.
he's cute. We can have real matching foot. Now, like, what's it called? Like, if I'm talking to a guy and I'm comfortable, like, I'll get in my bed. They'll come in the house. I'll lock the door. I'll come in the bed, and then like, I'll throw my leg on the floor.
There we go. Hey.
Powered by Riverside.
Life, love, and legacy. Welcome to the Trent Out Loud podcast. I am your host, Trent Out Loud. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. I love my sound
Yeah.
effects. And welcome to the second episode. And I am very proud and honored to introduce my second guest,
Tony.
Tony Grant.
Hi.
Hold on, hold on. I got some Jamaican sound effects too. I gotta find a way to turn that down. People in their car are gonna be like
That's
freaking
fine.
out. How are you,
I'm
Tony?
good, just chilling, you.
Good. I'm very good. Well, the truth is that you just came back from the hospital to get some stitches, but we will get into that later on in the show and let people know what that was all about. But you are okay
I'm
though,
fine.
right?
I'm chilling now.
Just want to make it clear that you are okay to do the
Yeah.
podcast and you're doing this on your own free
Yes,
will.
my old people, I made sure I was ready to do
Perfect.
it.
Perfect. All right. So I'm going to start the show off with just telling people how we met, from my perspective of how we met, and then you could fill in the blanks because there's some actually blanks that I don't even
Yeah, I had
remember.
to ask my
And
mom.
then,
I was like, Mom, I'm
oh,
like,
really?
fill these in just in case.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was 10 years
Yeah, it
ago,
was a
right?
while
So,
ago.
yeah. So anyway, so I'll set that up and then we'll get into life, love, and legacy. Tell people about your story and your journey because I think it's amazing and I think it's a story that people should know. And you know, the premise of the podcast is to just to learn from everybody else's story, right? And I feel like people can learn from my journey as an entrepreneur, people can learn from your journey as a cancer survivor, and I feel like everybody has a story. And you are an example of strength, resilience, and just amazingness. So, you know, at your young age of 23 years old, you know, there's something that can be pulled from that. So, I'm excited for people to learn more
Yes,
about
me
you.
too.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So 10 years ago, we had Galaxy Phone Posits, with any sneakerheads listening. It was arguably like one of the biggest releases in sneaker history. You
Yeah, I remember your
remember
lineup outside your store.
it, right? Yeah. Exactly. So we announced the lineup. There's LA was packed of New York, whatever. And we were one of the only boutiques. So people came from Toronto, Ottawa. People came from New York that were, there was too many people in the lineup in New York. And people came out to
That's
Montreal.
crazy.
The Montreal Gazette was there. Pulse was there. Everybody was there. So, I mean, I think I don't remember whose idea it was, but maybe you could fill me in. But anyways, I said, you know what? With all this attention, I want to give back and I want to do something and I want to help somebody, you know, because this is sneakers and there's money and people are reselling. But, you know, how could we use this opportunity to amplify, you know, someone's story or give back and to help? It's something that we've always, you know, tried to implement. And like I said, this is where you could come in. Who reached out to you? Who reached out to your parents? How did you come into the fold.
I have no idea, to be completely honest with you. I just remember coming to your store for my brother. He was always buying your shoes and clothes and stuff. So I think like my mom, I don't know. I think she maybe heard it from somebody and then she might have spoken to you. Like, honestly, I don't even remember how I got there. I just remember being there and everybody wanting these shoes and going crazy that I was holding a pair. I just remember that. But like, I have no idea how like I ended up to like come to you.
Okay, well, shout out to whoever it was that brought Tony to the store or whatever, because I don't know if we like announced it to say, hey, we're looking for someone. No, we're looking to have an auction. But regardless, we were able to connect. And so what we decided to do, we had a midnight release. And what we decided to do with the last pair was hold an auction outside and raise money for Tony. And we could, you know, we'll get into your story of, you know, what you needed the money for at the time and et cetera. And yeah, so, I mean, the cops, there was like 10 cop cars outside and they were pissed because there's already, there was almost so much mayhem going out and they're like, what? You're going to hold a live auction and people are going to pay cash, whatever. But then when we told them it's for a cancer survivor and we told them it's for a 12-year-old girl, were you there at midnight?
Yeah.
Were you actually there when we did the auction? Wow. Okay, that's crazy.
I remember I stood outside and held the shoes and then we did the auction and everyone's like, did I get their money yet?
Oh, yes, that's true. Yeah. You held up the shoe. I remember now. Anyway, so then shout out to I Am Browntown because he was the one who paid, I think it was close to $2,000 or something like that for the shoe. And then, and when he found out it was you, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to donate and to give back. So shout out to Browntown. Shout out to everybody in the lineup. Shout out to, you know, Nike for blessing us with that opportunity. Yeah. And so, you know, so that was like one of our, you know, a couple of our little charitable donations that we did. And that was obviously the biggest one. And, you know, I'm not going to lie and sit down and say that, you know, we've been in contact for the past 10 years. We haven't.
Exactly.
So we did. Exactly. I was able to catch up with you on Instagram. Sorry. And, you know, I reached out and I'm like, listen, I'm doing this podcast. And did you see the first podcast I did with Taya?
I seen a bit of it, but that was at work. So my boss kind of yelled at me when I was watching it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Take it off your phone.
Yo, tell your boss I said, yeah, exactly. Like, yo, we need to watch the Trend Out Loud podcast. Anyway, so Taya was like, you guys have been, the both of you have been my two favorite clients that I've met out of the thousands that I've met at Exo City. And people always ask me, like, what's your favorite thing about, you know, being a retail store owner? And it was like the beautiful people I've met. You know, I met so many people, cool friends, mom, dads, relationships that I have now. But Taya's story and your story really stuck out to me the most out of the past 15 years. So this is why I wanted to have both of you guys as my first and second episode of my podcast. And hopefully you two will bring me some luck of my success in retail, bring me some success in the podcast land. Exactly. All right. Okay. So that was the setup. So just tell people a little bit about your story and your journey with cancer.
So I was diagnosed at the age of 9. So basically how it went about is that I was a very active kid. I was also the type of kid that like wanted attention. So I won't lie on that. I hurt my knee and my mom thought I was trying to get attention. So it took us like a few months to actually go to the doctors. And then I believe it was the StatCare clinic. We went to the StatCare, we got an x-ray and everything, and the doctor said it was a cyst. So it said there was a cyst because I was growing, so it's a normal thing, that it's nothing to worry about, it's gonna go away, it's just growing pains that she's dealing with. So my mom was like, okay, went back to school and was fine. But my knee, like the way it was like right like here on the tibia. It was right there and there was no marks, there was no bruises, no bumps, nothing. So it also went with her thinking that I was just trying to get attention from her. So
no problem. You did not fall down. You did not scrape your knee. Nothing at all.
I was a very active kid. I loved doing cheerleading. I loved playing soccer and everything. So like, I don't know what specific event caused me to like actually start the pain. Maybe when I was playing soccer. Maybe when I fell down from the pyramid of doing cheerleading and not being safe.
Got you.
But it just started hurting. After that, and like I couldn't explain the pain. I was also 9 years old, like, you know, it just like it hurts. So after a few months of them saying it was a cyst and that it was just from growing pains, we went to the hospital again. When we went to the hospital again, they basically took another x-ray. They said, I broke my bone and it's a calcium buildup. So my bone was trying to heal itself. So my mom was like, okay. Mm. So like they put like a little wrap on it. That's it. Then after, I think it was like a few weeks later, my mom usually tells this story, so like I'm trying to remember her voice in the back of my head. So I remember us finally going to the children's hospital. They said the same thing.
Okay.
My bone broke. It's a calcium buildup. Then I believe it was maybe like not even a day or two, they called my mom back and they said that your daughter needs to come to the hospital because it's something more serious. I obviously couldn't say it over the phone. So we went back to the hospital, and I remember this day, like, just sitting in the office. It was the old children's hospital, so, you know, they had, like, those little small rooms in those weird little corners. And we went into this office, and it was a student doctor before my main doctor came in. So he was the one that also told me it was a calcium buildup. He was sitting in the chair, and he basically told my mom that I had osteosarcoma. So where we thought that the cyst was, it was actually a tumor. And I needed to go into a biopsy just to make sure if it was benign or like if it was cancerous. So I think they went to put on a cast because they're like, okay, like it's clearly something, your leg's broken, we need to put on a cast. So we put on a cast and I think the cast was on for maybe a week or two. And I felt like a pressure on where the cast was, where my leg was hurting. So we had went back to cut off the cast. And usually when you cut off a cast, you cut it off from the top. They were cutting it. And I was like, no, like you need to stop because it was like painful. They ended up cutting it from the side. And then when they finally got it off, there was the size of a grapefruit on my leg. Like it was blue, purple, orange. It was just like that pain that was there was not showing. And finally, like, once it was like concealed in a cast, it was just like it bloomed out in my leg. So then
So was it hurting in the cast?
It was hurting. It felt like a pressure, but I was dealing with the pain for like months now. So I was like, okay, like I guess it was just probably the same type of pain. But no, like it was like growing and it was like applying pressure on the cast. Like I wasn't even supposed to get the cast off, but like I kept complaining of too many issues. And now that they know it's like it could possibly be a tumor, they're okay, like we're gonna check it out. So they took it off, they seen how big it was. It was huge, this big on my leg, like literally like a whole bump on my leg. It was the most scariest thing ever. And then finally we went for my biopsy and then they found out it was cancerous, but I was on the stage one, so that was very good for me. Then I believe I did,
so catch you caught, I caught it early. Early is basically
thankfully,
the story.
I caught it very good. Early I was in the first stage, so like there is a kid that like I was playing with and his name's Eric. I will give his name out because everybody thinks I hate him. I really don't.
Shout out to Eric.
Because so many people think I hate him because he thinks that he gave me cancer because we were playing and he kicked me. But like, no, I tell everybody, I'm like, cancer's already in your body. It's just how it's activated. Not like, it could be activated or it could not be. So, like, I say to him, I'm like, thank you for kicking me because, like, it started hurting and I had a pain and that's why I went to go get checked. If it never hurt, I would have probably been in stage 2, 3, 4 because, like, nothing would have been painful. Yeah.
Okay, but hold on. Could it have been possible that let's say he never kicked it or nobody ever kicked it, could it have stayed dormant till you're 90 years old?
We don't know this. So that's also another thing. It could have been, but it also could have been already growing in my body.
And
I would have never known if I would have hurt myself. So
you got to just think it's God's plan.
Yeah, but like in the day, I'm not going to blame anybody. It's not nobody's fault. It's my own body.
Okay.
So like he did help in some type of way because like if he didn't kick me and it didn't start hurting, I wouldn't have been complaining of pain and I wouldn't have been going to get checked. I would have been like, oh, it's whatever.
Yeah.
So I got I forgot where I was. I have the worst brain.
Sorry, I asked a lot of questions. So you're in, you got the cast cut off. It's cut off on this side.
Got the biopsy.
See, I'm listening. I appreciate it.
So the biopsy, we got cut off, and it ended up being cancer, stage one. And then I believe I did about 9 months, 9 months of chemotherapy. But within the middle of doing chemotherapy, I got my first surgery. So basically what they did was a reconstruction. So it was basically they removed the bone in my leg that was cancerous, and they replaced it with like a metal bionic leg inside my skin. Okay. So we did that. And when they did my surgery, it was basically from the top of my leg to the bottom of my leg, my scar. And they wrapped it up in bandages, but they did it too tight. So I developed blisters on my leg. I went through everything in the hospital. So my mom used to sponge bathe me because like it was better than going to take a bath because like I had open wounds. So my mom used to sponge bathe me, and I had a favorite nurse, and he was just like, he's like, Tony, why don't you be like a grown-up and like go take a bath, and I'm like, okay, like let me be a grown-up, like I'm a big girl, like let me take a bath. And I ended up taking a bath, and I don't know exactly what the issue was either. They didn't clean the tub before, and the kid had an infection, or it was something to do with the tub because I was soaking in water, you know? You're not supposed to soak, but I ended up soaking in the water. And I think it was like a few days later, I was supposed to get discharged, and one of my favorite nurses ended up coming in. Like I was getting like taken off all my like IVs, all the things. And they're like, I'm just laying in the bed. So, like, she, like, looks at me. She's like, did anybody take Tony's vital signs? And they're like, no, she's leaving. Like, she's leaving. She's like, okay, I'm going to take her vital signs. She took my vital signs. I was dying because, like, the infection. So, basically, like I said, I had a metal rod in my leg. So, that was getting rusted and damaging my insides. But, like, how are you supposed to know that, you know? So I was dying. Yeah, and just imagine, I was about to go home for like a week and then come back in a week to get in, like do my other session of chemotherapy. So this, I think, I believe I was, at this point, I was in the hospital for like 2 months straight because like I kept getting sick. This was also the same time of, what was that other pandemic? H1N1. So we were, exactly. Swine flu. So I was stuck inside because I had such a low immune system that if I would have went out, I would have gotten really sick. And I think a week before I ended up getting the H1N1 injection, I got really sick too. Almost started dying for that too. Like I got like really sick. So like I was just having a fun time. I was like, peace out, guys. And everyone's like, no, I can't come back. So finally she took my vital signs, and then I got rushed into the surgery because like the bone was getting infected and the metal rod was rusting. So they put it was a spacer in my leg for the meantime. So basically I wasn't able to bend my knee, like bend my leg at all. It was straight. If I bent it, like it would have popped out type of thing. So I had that in there for a bit, and then we had to make the decision of amputating my leg. But when I first came, I have a question.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on 1 second. So, the tub, infection, vital signs, the rod is resting.
Infected, yeah, so the infection was in.
So my question is, if you never went into the tub, would you have just had the rod inside your leg and that was it?
Yes, but the issues with that rod in my leg, it doesn't grow with you. So I was 9 years old. I would be going back to the hospital every single year to lengthen the leg because you grow. But that one did have the highest risk of infection. They told me this from the start, which I also missed this part. They asked me if I wanted that one or my amputation. So my amputation is different. It's called the rotationplasty. And I don't deal with phantom pain because I basically have my foot still. I call it my baby foot because like I was 9 years old, but I basically still have my 9-year-old foot. So
No way.
It's really cool.
Okay, well, this is so interesting. Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
But now it's cool for me. But like back then I was like, no, that's weird. Like I don't want to be like seen as weird. Like just in my head, I was an athletic kid. was the fastest runner in my school, like with like the other kids. Like I was really quick. I loved sports. So like going from that to like, you need to amputate your leg was like, no, like I'm going to take the bull rod. I'm going to deal with it. I'll come back every year and get a surgery. Now that I think about it, I would not want to be in the hospital every single year. Now I'm happy that I chose this, but I didn't choose it at first. So that's why I got the metal rod. And then once it got infected and I got the spacer, they brought it up again. I didn't make this decision. My mom did, because like, honestly, in her head, I thank her for it now. But before, like, I was kind of mad that she chose it. But my surgeon, who's Dr. Turcotte, he didn't do a kid. I was the first kid in Montreal to get the rotationplasty. So there was adults and there was a kid in Quebec that did it. He came and showed me his leg before I got my surgery. I was a little creeped out, but I was like, well, like, I guess it's cool. Like, you know, like whatever. I had a little crush on him too. I was like, oh, he's cute.
Okay.
Like, he's cute. We can have a little matching foot. So finally, my mom made the decision to amputate it. They said that I wouldn't deal with any phantom pain, and it would.
Sorry, what is phantom pain? Teach me and teach everybody.
So phantom pain is for people with amputations. If you have a stump, so that's what it's usually called. It's a stump that, like, they completely amputate the leg from there, and it's just like, you know, like how you would see in like movies. It's just like amputated. There's nothing there.
Yeah, just cut it.
So what they experience, either if it's an arm or a foot, they feel their foot there, and it's an excruciating pain from what I learned. I've never felt it because I don't have it, but basically people will go to the like the lengths of like putting a mirror in between their legs so they can see another leg there, because it's all mental and it makes you like and it can be very painful, and it can like, it can go on for like a day, like of having a phantom pain and like dealing with it.
So is it really a pain, or is it just your mind tricking you and thinking that
I think it's a pain, but the pain that they I think it's the mental pain, but I do, it's because you get an itch and you're like, I need to itch it, and you're trying to find it, and then you're like going crazy.
But it's not there.
Like the only type of itch I get is that like I'll feel my knee being itchy, and I will scratch my leg, and like then I'll have scratch marks all over my leg. That's the only type of pain that I've dealt with. I don't have it often, but like sometimes I'll get an itch and I'm like trying to find it on my leg, and I'm like, okay, like I can't find it. I'm like, can you tell me, you just stop? And I'm like looking at a bunch of scratch marks. I'm like, okay, we're done with that. So they usually deal with phantom pain. So that's what he had told my mom, and my mom was like, okay, like we're gonna do this, because she also said that like she can also be prone to another infection if we redo it again. My mom was like, okay, like we're going to choose this option and amputate the leg. So I went into surgery, and
how old are you at this point?
I was still nine.
So this is still 9 years old. So the bump, the cast, the surgery, the, all of this stuff, you're still 9 years old. This is still in the first year.
I could have been 10 at the amputation. Okay. I need my mom here. She's going to be here, so she's going to pop in. She'll be like, hi.
That's cool. But you're still, you're young. You're not in your, I'm just making sure. You're preteen.
Like, I was very young, and, like, to be completely real with you, I actually blocked out my whole cancer journey once I got into, like, school. It was just, like, a very, like, hard thing that I think mentally, like, I couldn't remember anything. Like, people would come up to me that, like, I used to see in the hospital, and I'd be like, I'm like, who are they? She's like, totally, like, you shared a room with them. And I'm like, I mentally blocked it out. So, like, it, like, my mom was always the one to tell me, like what it was. Okay. So
a lot of people do that with trauma.
It was, a normal thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I believe it was, like, maybe, like, just 10, just turned 10 or something, or late, like, at the ending of 9. But then I got my leg amputated. So that was a really hard thing to deal with. I believe my surgery was maybe 8 or 9 hours, I believe. Because just imagine, they're taking from your ankle to my thigh, and they have to reverse my foot back. So basically my heel, if you move your heel underneath your desk and it goes like this, and you move your knee, it kind of moves the same type of way.
Now.
So like,
okay, yeah,
so I'm doing it. Yes, is my new knee now. So like, yeah.
Your so heel is your new
turn
knee.
Turn the foot around, okay. And it's a, yeah. My heel.
Oh, I get it. Wow. Okay, yeah. So hold on. You got to tell me, this is hard, especially for people just trying on a to podcast imagine it, in yes. their car listening. So you are not, sorry, I don't know what the term is, but it's not an amputee. It's not, your leg is not completely cut off. It's a rotation plasty. Got you. So that doesn't mean so that's why you don't have phantom pain. And that's why you're, foot is still a 9-year-old foot.
So like they had to attach the nerves and stuff so like I can be able to move. But I've realized that like my foot has not grown since, which I find it very cute. It's just like a little 9-year-old foot. Like, it's really small.
So your ankle now is your knee. So do you have an ankle?
My ankle? So say you amputated just above your ankle. So it's not like I still have my ankle and my whole foot. So like just like amputated maybe like I don't have socks on, but like maybe from like here. Okay.
Got you.
So like there. Understood. That's where they amputated it. So then they just reversed it backwards. So it's basically my thigh and then my bottom half of my foot. So it's equal to like my knee. So when I sit down, like they reach the same part.
Understood.
Yeah.
And if you take off that cast or that whatever, what is that thing there around your leg?
My prosthetic leg. Yeah. So this is
your prosthetic leg.
This the top part is basically to keep my leg in position because like I could like say trip and like break my whole bone. Like it's very fragile, and like I also have weak bones because I don't drink milk. I don't like milk. They really tried forcing me to drink milk, and I was like, "No, this is not happening."
Yeah.
So I actually.
So when you take off that prosthetic leg, is there a leg fully all the way down to your foot?
So the only prosthetic leg that goes all the way down to my foot is my prosthetic. But if I take off my leg, my amputation leg only reaches to my knee, and then there's nothing on the bottom half.
There's nothing on the bottom half.
Okay, we're trying to show you a little explanation. We have wires here, but like basically, this is my leg. This is a fake.
Okay, that's your real leg.
No, this is
a
fake one.
Oh, this that's is the fake one. Okay.
And then from this point is my leg. So my leg stops here.
That's real. Okay, but that's what I don't get with the foot. How is your real foot there at the bottom?
This is not my real foot. At the bottom, it's a fake foot.
Yeah. So how do you have your real 9-year-old foot?
My real 9-year-old foot is right here.
Okay.
It's confusing. Okay. It's very confusing.
Okay. I get it now. Woo! Round of applause for Trent. Finally getting it. All right. Maybe everybody else got it out there, but I was not getting it. Okay. Got it now.
I'm understanding it. That's why, like, when I'm always out, not many people realize I have a fake leg. Because, like, I'm very bubbly and very, like, one thing I always say is that you need to be comfortable. As much as, like, sometimes you can be uncomfortable in a situation where you don't know people, you have to be comfortable because then people are going to be withdrawn from you and they won't want to ask you and they'll go to staring. And then you automatically feel uncomfortable with staring. But me, I'm like, okay, no. I've had a friend that literally, we were chilling for 3 days straight and then only until I wore shorts, she was like, "You have a fake leg?"
Wow.
You didn't realize this whole
time. That's hilarious.
Like, we were like chilling for a bit. Like, you weren't really doing like hard things. Like, I saw you had a limp, but like, I didn't think you had a fake leg. I was just like, okay. Like, she's like, "You just don't give off that energy," I guess. Like, okay.
Well, that's good. And we're going to talk about that now that like we understand everything and I finally understand everything. So they took your 9-year-old foot, ankle, and brought that up to, and that is your knee because that's where the cancer was. So your ankle in reverse is your knee.
Good job.
God.
You got it.
Finally got it. Sorry about that. Okay. I get it. So when you're at home, like chilling on the couch or whatever, you take off that amputee part of your leg.
Like I literally like like how I explain it for girls that will understand this, when you get home and you're like, I want to take off this bra. Like, mine is taken off this leg. Like, I'm whipping off to the side. I'm like, it's good.
Got you.
It's done.
Got you. And the only reason why it's up all the way to your thigh is to protect your femur and the top of your leg bone from breaking or having any further issues.
So it's just more of a secure thing to keep in your leg. Like people with stumps that have phantom pain, they don't have the top brace. They just have the lower half. So they just stick their leg in and then they walk with it. Whereas us, we have more to protect. So we actually have to have a brace. Mine's a bit different. But like, the thing is, what rotation plasty is, it could be completely different. I've met some kids in war amps that had cancer in their thigh, and then they took off their whole, like, basically from their knee, they took the whole bottom half of the leg and then stuck it up and rotated it. So their thigh part is a lot skinnier than mine. So, like, that was a little confusion for me when I went to war amps. Like, I was like, why is it smaller? I thought my leg was swollen, but no, it's just, like, it's my thigh. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a bit bigger. But so it depends on, like, where the cancer is. People can have, like, a different type of rotation plasty, but it always looks the same. It's just, like, it could be either skinnier or a bit bigger. Yeah.
Amazing. And, sorry, pardon my ignorance. Is war amps part of Shriners?
War amps does deal with Shriners. But War Amps is basically, it's a institution that basically helps kids that have amputations. So you can have like either a missing finger, you can have no hand, you can have, there's different types of amputees. Some people are actually born and like they have like different like legs and stuff. Like I was awoken to a whole different world when I went to my first War Amps. I was like a little taken back because I haven't seen some of these things. But it's so amazing what these kids could do, because like we would have like a talent show and they would show all their different amputations and their different like arms or like different like stuff. And it's really, really cool. So like War Amps basically helped me through school. So like I'm a full time student. So they would provide me with like, it's not a loan because it's a bursary. They give you a bursary. So they give you a certain amount of money to help you through school. When I want to do driving, they pay for my driving. So, like,
Wow. Still, today?
I haven't done my driving yet. I still have no license. But, like, I'll get there. I'll get there. But once I do my full schooling, they will reimburse me back all the money that I paid for my driving. Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's very good.
Have you not done your driving because of your condition or just your
I
own
actually
self?
Went into school and I passed my first step, I guess, like the first little section, I passed it. But when I went to the SAAQ, it was kind of upsetting because my amputation is on my left leg. You drive with your right. And I finally was so excited, just passed my exam. I can get my permit. I went to the SAAQ. We did everything. And then obviously, like, I checked off the box of like a handicap. And the guy literally went like, I'll be right back. And then turned around, not even walked away, turned around, called his colleague, and then they're just gossiping. And he gives me back my paper. He's like, you need to have a doctor's note to get a license. And I was like, are you serious? I'm like, it's not even my right leg. I'm like, it's not really intervening with anything.
Yeah.
So it is my fault. I also feel bad to go to the hospital now because like I'm 12 years cancer free. So once you're 10, you no longer go to the hospital. So I kind of like, I'm really bad at booking appointments. I'm so used to my mom doing it till this day. So I'm supposed to go there and bring a paper and then have my doctor sign. But I haven't gone and seen my surgeon because I tried bringing it to my leg technician and he wasn't allowed to sign it. So it is kind of my condition, but it wasn't me that wanted to hold myself back from my condition. It's more of the driving community and the institutions that hold me back. But they do pay for everything.
Okay. Shout out to War Amps then. All right. So let's just tie up the life part, because then I want to go to the love part and I want to go to legacy. So when did you have the prosthetic leg? Yeah. That's the proper term. the prosthetic leg and finish all the surgeries. How old were you?
I finished when I was ending of 10. And then I got my prosthetic in the ending, what's grade five? Is it grade six? Grade six, because we go into grade seven in high school. So yeah, the ending of grade six, I was at Springdale Academy. My mom had switched me to a different school. I was originally at Purcell Academy, but it did shut down. So my mom sent me to a one level school because I was using crutches. So like I was on, I did wear fluorescent Ardennes shoes with my backwards foot blood. I was just walking around with my backwards leg. I was like, I was not like, I think high school was more of the dealing with bullying, but like in elementary, I was there with a fluorescent blue backwards foot and like on my other foot walking around in crutches, hitting people with my crutches. Like I was very like comfortable with my, with myself. So it was the ending of grade six that I got my prosthetic legs. My mom was like, okay, you're going into high school. You need to start practicing with your leg because like you need to be able to do stairs. And she's like, I need to be feeling okay that you will do stairs and not drop.
Exactly.
Like it was a whole system. So like it was only in the ending of grade six that I got my prosthetic legs. So when I went into grade seven, I was a bit more comfortable with walking with my prosthetic leg. It was a little weird though.
So about 2 years. So from 9 to 11.
Yeah, so 11. So 2 to 3 years. I was on crutches for 2 years, and then I went to my prosthetic leg. Yeah.
Okay. So you have your prosthetic leg, and then, like you said, you as a cancer patient, you have to check in every 10 years, of course, to make sure the cancer isn't spreading or isn't going anywhere else. So has it spread? Has it gone anywhere else, or has it been contained to your leg?
So when they removed the cancer, the surgeon, when they did remove everything, they removed 96% of it. So most of it was gone. Okay. With my type of cancer, osteosarcoma, it does have reoccurrence, different cancers, so you can get it in different spots. Nothing has spread, but I did have some few scares, like when I get bumps on my other leg, because I can't really feel what my other leg feels like and be like, is this normal? Yeah. Like I grab my friend's leg and I'm like, is this normal?
Oh, so yeah, like, I get it.
I have my little scares and I'll go to the hospital and just get a checkup. But they usually do that they used to do it every year. So they do blood work, x-rays, MRIs, and like check my whole body and like see if everything was fine. And everything was fine. And I haven't gotten cancer since. So
10 years cancer free.
12 years.
I'll put the chairs in after. I will find it. Don't worry about that. So congratulations for being cancer free for 12 years. And I hope it's for the rest of your life. So tell me a little bit. So you brought us from 9 to 12, and you touched on, you know, bullying and growing up. Can you tell us a little bit about how it is, you know, growing up as a teenager and even a young adult, you know, as a cancer survivor, amputee, especially in this, oh my gosh, this Instagram age.
Generation.
You know? And I went on your, it's not social media and touching up and this or whatever. So, but also like not now, because I just went on your Instagram before our, well, I've been on it before, but preparing for the interview and I see where you're at now, but because we're trying to, you know, encourage people to like, you know, love themselves and, you know, and grow and be strong or whatever. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Because I'm sure you weren't as strong or you weren't as open, you know, when this first happened. So you can tell us a little bit about that.
High school was the biggest, like, okay, like, yeah, I'm different. I wasn't, like I said, I was in an elementary that was very small, was one floor. So everyone knew who I was. So I think that made it a lot easier. Going into high school, there was people that didn't know me. So that's where the bullying came in. It was very, very hard dealing with like the little jokes that people would say, like before I used to be called a transformer. Or the worst one was, I love him now. Terry Fox is my best friend, like even though I don't know him. They used to call me, exactly. We actually had the same cancer, me and Terry Fox. I had the same, same thing, except I had a different surgery, but we had the same cancer. They would call me Tony Fox. Okay. So it was a little like, in high school, you're like, okay, like, that's not my name. Like, stop. So like, it was a little hurtful. People like, you know.
That would be a dope Instagram name now, though. Like, Tony Fox. Hey.
I like the name. People call me, like, they're trying to see something. I'm like, they're like, Tony Fox. I'm like, yeah, yeah, Ben White. Like, before, like, even Transformer, like, you wish you were a Transformer. I could switch my leg up and do a Transformer thing. You're jealous. But back then, I didn't have that mindset because, like, back then, like, the type of image that women or, like, young girls were supposed to be, I was nothing like that. So once I got out of the hospital, I never ate. I used to eat. My mom didn't stop me with eating. Oh. So I was a bit chubbier, and I had one leg. So, like, obviously, like, people, like, the guys would look at me and be like, you're not pretty. And all my friends were very gorgeous. Love my girl.
Guys would say that to you?
They're like, your friends are pretty. Can you hook me up with your friends? Not you, though. So, like, I had a lot of guy friends that were, like, close to. But, like, all the other ones, they were, like, they would, like, say stuff that, like, to me, they're like, you know, like, you're my boy. Like, I would never date you. And I was like, you know, like, I, like, it hurt and stuff. Right. So, like, I think that's when it, like, kind of pushed down my self-esteem. Like, I didn't feel like I was pretty enough. Like, I was different. That's when I really felt like I was different. And it hurt a lot, but one thing that really did get me through was my friends. My friends never stopped telling me that I was gorgeous, that I'm like, listen, like, you're a cancer survivor, you dealt with more than any of these girls did, or, like, even met, like, guys did, like, you're beautiful. My mom, too. My sister, Tierra, always had my back. It was definitely family and friends that really kept me pushing and, like, dealing with stuff, because I did have, like, a really hard time in high school with my, like, body image. And it only got better when I was in grade 9. So, like, from 7, 8, 9, I was very insecure, very not happy with myself. Okay. I was a very bubbly kid, was very popular because everyone knew me for my fake leg at that point. So I was, like, popular, but I was very insecure. So, like,
can I ask you a question about that? Is it annoying getting love because of your leg? Like, I'm popular because of my, exactly.
Yeah,
that's not what you want to be popular
for,
right?
I've had this conversation with a girl because, like, she had cancer too. And she, like, one thing, like, I really appreciate when people, like, are like, you're a survivor, like, this and that. But, like, sometimes it's like, I don't want to be known for just that, you know? So, like, I want to be known for other things. Like, I love to, like, say my story and stuff. But when people are constantly coming to me and they're like, you're so strong, you're so, like, yeah, I'm strong. But, like, I had no choice to be strong. Like, if I wasn't strong, I would have died. And, like, you're a survivor. I love that one. But, like, it's just, like, I don't, like, I feel like because I had cancer and stuff, a lot of people just view me as that, as, like, a cancer person and, like, not as my own person, like, and other stuff. So that's why, like I said, when I had a friend and she didn't even know I had a fake leg, like, that was cool because she actually got to know me for me and wanted to be my friend and not just be my friend because, like, understood. Oh, you're cool. Everyone knows you. You have a fake leg. Let me be your friend. Because I had a lot of that in high school. Understood. Where, like, oh, yeah, my friend has one leg. And I'm like, hi. Like, how are you? I'm the one leg friend.
Got you.
So, like, I think, like, now, like, I'm okay with it. But, like, back then it was kind of like a, like, I, like, my name's Tony. Like, I, like, yeah, I have one leg. But, like, I'm also really fun. I'm bubbly. Like get to know me for me and not just for, like, the situation I dealt with. But with that, which that's why, like, it's a pros and cons type of thing, because, like, one thing, I get to know when people are very judgy towards me, like, right off the bat. Okay. Like, if I meet someone new and they're judgy, I'll catch their vibe, and I'm like, I don't want to be friends with them. And then I have other people who are like,
so you don't mind somebody, like, acknowledging it and getting it, but you don't want the boyfriend for that or the relationship for that or any special treatment for that. You are who you are, and yes, you know, you can't not look at you and not see your leg, fine, but let's not make it be the entire case,
I won't
lie.
I do, like, the free front parking type of thing, you know. Like, I feel like I'm parking in front, I'm like, yay! I'm like, I love swing.
Yeah, but you don't have a license. So, if you're in my car, so I can park in the front?
I, like, my friend, Kat, I will put her out there. This girl drives me to my appointments, everything. Love this girl to death. Shout out to Kat, my bestie. Because I'm always with her, I can get a handicap sign for her car. And so whenever I'm with her, she can put up the sign and she can park in the front. So the handicap sign is only registered to one car. It's not like registered to my name, like Tony Grant. You put it on like any car you want.
Okay.
It's registered to a certain car. So like with my friend, if I'm with her often, I can get a handicap sign and it'll be in her car whenever I'm with her.
Can you get one for her and your mom?
So like I can get one.
Okay, exactly. So you can get multiple.
I think it's max two you're allowed to get. I could be completely wrong, but I think it's max two that you can get for cars. Because, like, I mean, if you are a kid in a divorce, like, you know, a mom, dad, like, it would make kind of sense to have, like, both your parents to have a handicap sign. But I don't know. But, yeah, like, some of the advantages you get of having a prosthetic leg is great. But besides that, like, I just don't like being seen as just like a cancer patient. I think any cancer survivor can relate to that. Is we're our own person, we dealt through that, and also we don't like to be reminded all the time that we had a fight for our lives at a kid. Like I missed most of my elementary, and I'm sure other kids that I've seen kids come out the womb and like have a tumor on their chest and they weren't even born for 3 days. Like it's triggering in that point, but like I got through it.
I get it. Like, and it's like I feel bad because it's like, hey, I had you on my podcast because you're a cancer survivor, because you're an amputee, but at the same time that, you know, it is your story and it is your journey to tell, right? So just I totally get what you're saying.
Like it's me telling my story. Not everyone knows my story. Like you posted me on your page. And, like, I loved it because everybody went down to my main picture. My main picture actually explains who I am and why I have one leg. So I got, like, maybe, like, 20 likes on that picture just of people liking it because, like, they looked at my page but then went down and they saw, like, one picture of me and it explains my story. And I was, like I do appreciate it and I like people to know because not a lot of people know about different surgeries and cancer survivors and stuff. So stuff like this, like, I like doing it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. But don't like go out there and be like, this is the only thing that she's about, because Tony is about much more than this. And we're going to get to that part in the legacy part. I'm a big mental health advocate. Have you done any therapy or have you spoken to anybody about, you know, having to deal with cancer and being an amputee?
So like I said, in high school, I blocked out everything on my cancer journey. I got diagnosed with depression and anxiety in my last year of high school because it was like what you want to be.
And this is what age?
So this is
grade 11, last year high school, 15, 16.
I got diagnosed with cancer and depression because I got all the questions of what do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go to college? And like when I was in the hospital, I really wanted to be a doctor or a nurse. That was like my favorite. Like I wanted to be that. Now in my college years, I want to be a psychologist because my psychologist really helped me when I went to go see somebody. She got me to understand everything that I was dealing with. I was like very, like, I wasn't necessarily like, no, I was. I was like very deep depression and crippling anxiety. So like I would go around people and I would get very nervous. I like would like have shakings. Like I would be sometimes like, I can't even, like I would walk in a room and like, I can't, like I have to leave. And like, it was just too much for me. Yeah. Really? Like the stairs, like even when my self-esteem was at the highest, like the stairs, like you would get walking in a room with no one knowing you, like would really like, I sometimes would forget I have a fake leg and I'm like, why is everyone staring at me? Like what's going on? And like the depression, like I still deal with the depression and the anxiety, to be honest. I think most people in this generation do. I go through like points where like, I feel like I'm not enough. And I also believe that social media and how, like, they say, like Bella Hadid is the most gorgeous person in the world right now. Like, it's a lot. And, like, it's a lot for girls that have full bodies. I can imagine what it is for amputees and people with, like, different body stuff. Because, like, you're already seen as not perfect. And now you're not perfect to, like, the view of everybody else. So it is very hard dealing with it. And like for somebody like me, like I do encourage seeing a psychologist when you're going through these, because like nobody understands. Like, unless you have somebody that's like an amputee too, nobody really understands what you're going through. Like dealing with like body image and like not feeling enough.
Yes.
It's good. Like people frown upon like talking to a psychologist, you're crazy. No, it's very good.
Especially in our black culture, yeah, black community.
So you're crazy. Ridiculous. Like you don't need to talk to anybody. Talk to your pillow.
So they even make you feel that way, even being an amputee. I mean, it would be like, this is nuts.
Like this is my mom, thankfully, she was very like, once I told her like I sat down my mom and my sister and I was like, listen, like I want to tell you like guys, like I'm very depressed and like I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety. They both cried and then they're the ones that helped me get my psychologist. So they're very
shout out to mom.
Yeah. I'll put sound effects for shout out to them because I like seen many people or like even like some of my family members are like, why are you gonna go see a psychologist? You can't talk to your mom. Like I can talk to my mom.
I'm so sorry that you have
like,
to go
through
that.
Like, I can talk to my mom, but, like, my mom doesn't have all the answers for everything, whereas, like, a psychologist that's dealt with other patients, obviously, she can't tell me about the other patients, but, like, she's dealt with it, and she knows how to, like, it helped me in some type of way. So
yeah. Not only that, if I could just help you finish your thought, is that, because it really upsets me when people don't understand about psychologists, is that not only does she speak to other patients, is that I'm sure what you're doing right now, if you're in psychology, psychologists are trained to understand how the mind works. So they understand depression and anxiety, and they could give you things and exercises to help deal with that. Your mom or me or your somebody who cares about you is only going to come from it from a perspective of love and say, well, don't worry about it. Be strong. Da, da, da.
That's
you don't
the favorite
need the
word.
Pat on the back. Be strong. Be strong. Exactly. You're beautiful, Tony. Whatever. No. A psychologist will be like, okay, all of these things that are going on in your mind, and all those things are true that your mother or somebody like me or whatever will tell you, but there's things that a therapist can do. Just like if you say, hey, I want to lose weight, a trainer could show you certain things to make you lose weight. There's things that a therapist can teach you to have – you have less anxiety and less depression. So you would think that people would understand somebody in your situation.
A psychologist can dig deep into your mind without even digging deep into your mind and like find out why
exactly
you're insecure for this. Like most of my insecurities did go with because I didn't have my dad in the picture. He was in the picture for a bit and then I got sick and I guess he got scared. So he kind of left. So a lot of my issues of being like with guys saying that like I'm not pretty enough, it's because I felt like my dad didn't think I was pretty enough and that's why he left. So that was a lot of issues and like I didn't even know that. Like I thought I was fine and it was only till after that I realized because my psychologist told me while I was in her sessions when I spoke about my life and she's like, I think that a lot of your issues and your trauma does come from like your dad leaving your life. And it made so much sense. And then, like, that's what I mean. Like, it's not just my cancer. It's other things that trigger you and made me feel insecure. It wasn't even the fact that I got my leg amputated because I was okay with it. It was something completely different that had nothing to do with my cancer treatment that was really triggering me. And, like, everyone was like, Tony, like, it's okay. Like, you have one leg, but it's fine. You're beautiful. You're strong. And I was like, yeah, like, I understand. But, like, I didn't understand why those words weren't helping me. It was because it had nothing to do with my amputation or anything.
Oh, that is amazing. Oh my gosh. And therapy helped you realize that.
Yeah, therapy. I miss her to the death.
That's amazing. So I'm so happy that you went to therapy and that you're able to work through things. And I think the biggest takeaway, I'll try to find the biggest takeaways in every podcast. The biggest takeaway is the most obvious issue was nowhere near your biggest issue. And that is amazing. Yeah. Do you mind if I ask how's your relationship with your dad now? Is he in your life? Has that been worked out?
I have, my sister is a different dad. So basically my sister's dad is my dad now. He's my love of my life. He's my favorite person. He's a big teddy bear. He basically, while I was doing chemotherapy, my dad disappeared mid chemotherapy treatment. he came in and he would come see me every single day and he would bring me to movies. And still to this day, he has kids and his kids don't even know that, like, I'm not really his daughter. They grew up thinking I'm their sister. And, like, he's my dad. He's my dad, my biological dad.
Amazing.
Don't really speak to him. And the only kid of his that I speak to is the older brother, which is Brandon. Besides that, his daughter tried fighting me. The other one of the daughters did try getting in contact, but, like, our schedules didn't work, so we didn't end up meeting. But I'm not really, like, accepted into the family except for those two people that really tried reaching out for me. I see my grandparents, and they, like, okay, look right past me. So, like, I don't really talk to them, but I talk to my sister. Oh. That's my dad. That's who I say is my dad.
Well...
So, yeah.
Well, I'm happy that you have a dad in your life and somebody who you could call your dad. And shout out to him. I don't know his name. Shout out, dad. shout out, Tony Tate, you know, for being a great dad and a great
father figure.
Just a great person all around. Father figure. That's amazing. Okay. So I think we've generally touched on every part of your life so far. Yeah. I'm not going to dig any more into it. So you brought us in, you know, from 9 to 23 years old now. I'm going to go over into the love segment. And love doesn't necessarily mean, you know, physical love. But, you know, it's really important. I just think love is support, you know, especially from the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on, you know, where you're at in life. But can you speak a little bit to, like, relationships and, you know, was it hard getting into relationships? Have you had relationships? How was that side of your life? I've had
relationships. I thought it was going to be very hard. Like throughout high school, like, my mom would cry because, like, I would tell her that, like, I'm going to be one kid that you don't have, like, someone married or, like, have kids. And, like, it would hurt me, but, like, she seen the pain in me because, like I said, high school was hard. But once I got out of high school, it really, like, I would, like, I just was myself. And, yes, like, my, like, I won't lie, like, I was very shy when it comes to, like, my, like, because, like, when you're with a boyfriend, you do sleepovers. So, like I said, when I come home, I whip off my leg. So... it was kind of getting into that comfortability, like finally talking to somebody and, like, you know, like, we're chilling, watching movies, and I'm like, okay, like, do I take off my leg? Like, I'm not comfortable laying in bed. And then, my little secret was, like, I would put a blanket on me, and then I would, like, slowly slip off my leg, but my leg would be in the bed, but it would be off. So, like, it was, like, a hidden thing. And then finally, like, now, like, what's it called? Like, if I'm talking to a guy and I'm comfortable, like, I'll get in my bed. They'll come in the house. I'll lock the door. I'll come in the bed. And then, like, I'll throw my leg on the floor. And then they're, like, walking around it. Like, now, like, the boyfriends that I had, like, they always made jokes. Like, they would snatch my leg. And they're, like, you're not leaving my house. Like, where are you going? And
I'm, like, oh, no.
Like, I'm running with it. Like, I think.
That's hilarious.
To get to the point of comfortability and then also not you being weird about it. Like, you need to, like, be as, like, I'm very dark humor, make a joke about my leg and, like, laugh. If you don't laugh at me, I'm going to be like, okay, like, it's awkward now. Like, exactly. I need you to make a joke with me. Like, I'm saying, like, I was like, my leg's about to break. And, like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. We don't need it.
Exactly.
Like, it's little jokes. Like, I need to be comfortable with you. And there's, like, there, it has been some guys, like, I would talk to. And, like, I didn't get to that point of comfortability, but then that's when I knew that, like, they're not for me. Like, it's like how I say, like, I'm very bubbly to make people ask me questions. If you don't make me feel like I can just whip off my leg and not give a care in the world, then that shows me that, like, I can't really be with you. So it is very hard.
I love that.
There is a lot of, like, men that are very, like I went on a date. It was the worst date I ever had. I was on like a dating app and I had a picture, the picture you sent me of me in my skirt. You see my leg.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, the one that I asked you if I could post on Instagram. Yeah,
the one that you posted.
Okay.
You can see my leg. So I was on the dating app and he had come down to, like, we were going to go eat. And I like forgot my mask. It was during COVID. And so like I ran back into my apartment to go get my mask. And my roommate at the time came outside with me so she can see who he is. She's like, I'll wait by the car like while you go and like try to like talk a bit.
Okay.
The first thing he asked her, he's like, what's wrong with her leg? My friend. He's like, what's wrong with her leg?
Okay.
And then she was like, she lost her leg when she was 9. What do you mean? Like, it's like, she's like, I've seen her dating apps. Like, there's pictures of her leg. He's like, oh, I didn't see. And she's like, she doesn't have one. And then she literally whipped out her folder. She's like, it's this picture. Like you definitely see it. And then.
How do you not notice that?
And yeah. He's like, oh, like, I didn't know, like, what happened to her? She's like I said, she had cancer when she was younger. Like, you can speak to her about that. Ended up, like, lying about, like, what he was doing. And then when I came back into the car, we were driving to Orange Julep. It was the most awkward thing, Trent. He literally, the first thing he did because you know how, like, they're driving. So basically, my fake leg is on their side. And my real leg is facing the door.
Okay, yes.
He grabbed my fake leg. He was like holding it.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like,
I gotta do a show for men, man. You're just like, oh Lord,
I was
dude.
Like, wait, like not even a high.
Yo.
Like
he just grabbed your leg.
I come in and he goes to drive and he's like, so, like, I heard that you lost your leg when, like, you were 9. And I was just yeah. And he's like, you had cancer? And I was like, yeah. You're so strong. You're a survivor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, real romantic,
was,
buddy.
Like, I felt bad. He just driven from Ottawa. So, like, he just did, like, basically a 2-hour drive. So, I was like, okay, Tony, like, just pass this. And then it just, like, wouldn't stop. He was just, like, asking me questions. And I was like, no, like, I'm fine. He's like, can you walk? I'm like, did I not walk to your car? Like, I was I'm fine. Like, he's like, aren't you scared of COVID? Like, if you get sick from COVID, could, like, it affect your leg? And I'm like, what?
It's a respiratory disease, bro.
Like, so I was just there, and it was like I literally like we ended up like getting food, and like he came back to the house, and like we were sitting in the living room, and I literally had to like give my roommate the stairs, and we made the biggest lie that basically he's probably going to see this, but I don't care. I made the biggest lie that like it was during COVID, so we had lockdown, and we told him that like lockdown's at 9, and if your car is still here, like you're gonna get a $5,000 ticket. Plus, we're getting a $5,000 ticket, and we're not paying for that unless you're paying $15,000 out of your pocket. And then we literally made him feel like he needed to leave, and he left. I had a date for an hour with him, and it was the worst date and the worst experience I ever dealt with, like a man and my leg. It was just really freaking awkward. I usually have like guys like maybe a little scared to ask me about my leg. But this guy was just normal, going full forward, grab my leg, like, what's up, sweetheart? I'm like, move your head.
So I guess the good thing about it is that that's not one bad experience, but you've had many others that were not bad.
Other experiences were very good. They're very accepting. Like me, I would be scared. And they're like, you know, like, I want you to know, like, I don't care. Like, you're beautiful anyway. Like, that's nothing. Like, that's just another thing. But, like, they're like, if anything, that makes you original, that makes you special. Like, nobody else is like you. And that's one of my favorite lines that someone has ever said to me. And I was just like,
right.
So, like,
good job.
You have the good one.
Because you know there's a lot of people out there that, you know, probably don't feel comfortable dating or don't feel comfortable putting themselves on a dating app or feel comfortable putting a picture. Like, I know girls that don't want to put a picture because their hair doesn't look good or this isn't good. You're putting a picture with an amputated leg on there. You know what I mean? And going on dating apps. Like that's amazing. Like I think because I don't know if it's because you were 9 and you've been dealing this your whole life or if it's, I think it's probably just your personality, but you know, the fact that you're 23 years old on a dating app and dating and on a podcast being like, I had a horrible date with this guy and he didn't know how to treat me and he was horrible. And we sent him home. Like, this is amazing. You know, like it's,
you know, like, if you're not...
It's amazing.
Like, that's one thing that I always tell kids, like, at the War Amp seminars. Like, some of the parents would come up to me, and their kids are, like, maybe 4, 6, 7 years old, and they're about to get an amputation.
Yeah.
And, like, I told them, I was like, one thing, really be there when they're in high school. the biggest system that I had was my friends and my mom and my sister. Even my brother too. My brother was ready to fight anybody that did me wrong. So like at the end of the day, like, it's really family and my friends that really kept pushing me and showing me, like, told me, like, you're beautiful. Like, yes, you do have one leg, but that's like amazing. That does not make you different. Like, it makes you different physically, but you're not different on the inside. You're still the same person. You're still the same as you're better than most people that are pretty and like stush, you know, like me, like,
yeah.
Like in elementary, I wasn't the nicest kid. I was like thinking I'm like top notch. So like it was a kind of like humbling thing. Like I say, I'm like, me losing my leg was a humbling thing for me. And like I like at first I was like, oh, I got cancer and such. But like I really am happy that it did happen to me because I also got to grow up. I also got to see the world in a different type of view. Mm-hmm. That it sucks, but not many people can actually get that chance to see the world in a different type of view. Exactly. And how it really is. People are so like, this is how it is. And this is how I'm supposed to act. And like, it changed me. And that's why I always tell people, like, with kids that are about to have a rotation posse, I'm like, just be there for them, because that's the biggest thing. If you're not there for them, they're going to grow up being insecure and not comfortable with themselves. Because the biggest thing is if the ones around you aren't comfortable with you, you're not going to be comfortable with yourself. Yeah. If everyone's comfortable with you, then you're going to be comfortable with yourself. Like, I literally yesterday.
So it's really your surroundings, your mom, your surroundings, your friends,
your
family.
Yeah, you just need to joke about things. Like, my friend got a tattoo gun yesterday, and I have, like, the fake leg. And shit, can I practice on your ankle? And I was like, yeah. So I have a little turtle on my ankle right now. And, like, she called it Franklin, and I have a friend's heart. Like, she was like, shit, let me just practice. And we're just, like, sitting there, and she's tattooing my fake leg. And they're like, Tony, you know, this is like a $10,000 leg, and you're like, you're tattooing it. And I'm like, I'm getting a next one in like a few months, so it's fine. Like,
yo, that's hilarious. Why? Because there's like a skin there that she
can still. Yeah, so like it's like a foam type of part that she like basically just tattooed.
Okay, okay.
So they were tattooing it, and I'm like, I get a new leg every year. So like, I'm like, I'm getting a new one anyways.
That's amazing. It's fine.
And shout out to Warhams, they pay for my whole leg. Like, if I had to pay for this,
shout out to
Warhams. I've seen the receipts. They sent them to my house, and like, maybe just like one little system, like I have a BOA system on my leg. And just this, like the thing that you're asking me about, the brace on the top, $10,000.
Okay, yeah.
That.
And it's every year you have to get one.
So like, they put down a lot of money for kids with amputations. So like, really, like, shout out to them for like helping all of us out.
Perfect. Well, yeah, we'll put a link to their
You guys can get a little keychain. You get a little keychain, and then what's it called? If you ever lose your keys, someone just puts it in the mailbox and it gets shipped to your house. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Another reason to donate. So you have a pretty much, if you're on dating apps and you're sending guys home and you're not interested, the guys are coming over and you're throwing your leg, I'm thinking it's safe to say you pretty much have a normal 23-year-old love life.
Normal, pretty happy.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. That's amazing. So let's go to the legacy part. Now you're 23 years old. Are you in school right now?
I'm have one more semester and then I graduate.
And you're in psychology.
I was in law initially when I was in Vanier, so I kind of switched my roles because of a situation that happened actually because of my leg. If you actually want to know, it's with the police system and everything. I'll tell you that before I tell you what I switched in. So basically, when I was 18 years old, I went out drinking for the first time. It was a great time, but like, ended up getting into an argument with one of my boyfriends. And I don't know what had happened. It's just I was really upset. Ended up dragging me into like a place, but like me, when you go downtown, you know how like different restaurants, you go upstairs or you like, it's like. And then, but there's also apartments upstairs. He pulled me into a little place and ended up being somebody's mainframe from a house and like didn't know what was going on. I was crying, asking him why he was like treating me the way he was. And next thing I know, the cops are coming in and they push through and then like they arrest me. and like they're arresting me. I'm crying because like I don't know what's going on. I'm like asking them to speak to me in English. I'm not a French person. I'm strictly English. I only started speaking French like recently. So they're yelling at me in French and treating my ex-boyfriend at the thing heavenly, like holding him. They're like, is this too tight? Like being all nice. And mine was like cutting my circulation. Like I'm just like this, like hold it. And then like they're finally bringing me to the car. Not, I'm like asking them to speak in English or speaking French, not even listening to me. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like they're not going to listen. I go to the cop officer. I was like, you need to unlock my leg to let me get in the car. Cause like I have like a, cause I don't drink milk, my leg locks and unlocks. So you need to unlock it for me to bend it.
Okay.
So I told him, I was like, you need to unlock it for me to get in the car.
Oh,
I was not even that close to the car. He unlocked my leg and took off my whole leg and made me hop to the car and then threw me in the car. And yeah, so they got me for that. And then they said that I assaulted a cop officer and I had a deadly weapon on me. My deadly weapon was my prosthetic leg. So I basically got charged.
No way.
I basically got charged. Wait, pause this. My mom's screaming. I'm on the podcast. Okay, so yeah, she likes the gossip. So I wonder if she's coming. Oh, okay. Like, I heard her in the hallway. Okay, so
I'm gonna leave that in. I'm not editing that out. Actually,
but yeah. So basically, they charged me with that. They said that I kicked the officer. I didn't kick him.
Did you kick him, though?
How am I supposed to walk and kick you at the same time? So they said I kicked him with my prosthetic, and that's why it's assault of a deadly weapon. So I went to court for 5 years trying to get my ex got his thing wiped off easy because he's a white boy. So, you know, he got his easy. Honestly, I'm a light-skinned girl. And then I told them in the car, I'm in school for law. I was crying. I'm like, I'm in school for law. I'm trying to be a lawyer. Like, I can't get a charge. The cop officers were laughing at me. Like, you think you're going to be a lawyer? And, like, just laughing at me. Like, being very, like, taunting and rude. And, like, my friend was, like, on the window, like, trying to tell me to calm down. He's like, okay, stop crying. Like, calm down. They're not going to let you go. Finally, I calmed down. They didn't even bring me into the station. They just detained me in the car and then told me to leave. Yeah, so I went for 5 years trying to beat this case, and
okay, what was the outcome of the case? I finally got a lawyer
that basically helped me with getting a deal that basically I have to complete 100 hours of community service. I pled guilty, and it gets wiped within 3 years. So I'm on a year and a half now of like having this criminal record, which sucks because already I'm viewed as a minority. And now I'm viewed as a criminal because of my leg. So it was a really hard thing for me.
But you are a minority. Yeah. You're not viewed as a minority.
I am a minority, especially like with the color I have and my leg now. And now I'm a criminal too, apparently. So it took me like a...
Was it a legal aid lawyer or was it a lawyer that you paid? Lawyer. You see, this is a whole other story for a whole other time. The system
you can't...
Of the system and arresting and not having, you know, proper representation. If that ever happens again, call me.
It was definitely,
first of all, this is ridiculous. Experience.
I went through maybe 4 or 5 lawyers. One lawyer tried bringing me to trial. She would never meet me because she was pregnant. And like, what do you mean you want to go to trial? Like, you don't even know anything. I don't even know what I'm charged with. Like, I haven't even had a meeting with you. And like, I had to like tell her like in front of the judge, like I'm not with her anymore. And then, yeah, like, after that, like, I finally got a lawyer that was one of my friend's legal aid lawyers. So, like, he, like, spoke about me and then, like, ended up making the deal. And, like, I told her, I was like, you're amazing. Like, thank you so much. Any other lawyer that I was trying to get, they said that they couldn't get a deal. And then she got me this deal. Like, yeah, it sucks. Like, my friends want to go to the States now. And I'm like, count me out. Like, I'm sorry.
I don't even like the fact that you have to plead guilty and... cop to a deal if you didn't do anything wrong. But
every single year with his nasty ass little ponytail smiling in my face, and like it was the worst because like after me not going for a bit, I was in school, so I kept like saying that I didn't appear, like it was just my lawyer. I remember I went to the case and like I looked back and I smiled at a cop and I didn't realize, but he had like a smirk on his face, and I was just like, and literally a flash of him like being rude to me in front of the cop car, and I like broke down in tears. And then he just started laughing because I was crying. And I was like, you're an asshole. Like,
that is so bad, man. And that's what they want, right? They want to charge you. They want to give you a legal aid attorney. And they're like, oh, just plea deal. And now you're in the system. You're charged as guilty and you're a criminal.
And after like a year and a half, I go back to the courthouse and basically just it gets wiped. So like it will no longer be on my name. I will be in the system, but I won't have any charge on my name. So I'm waiting for that.
I know. Anyways, and you're still, but see, they tell you that, but it's like you said, it's there, but it's still there. You're still going to need a waiver to go to the US. I have a criminal record. I talk about it in my book. I need a waiver to go to the US for the rest of our lives. We'll need a waiver. I'm actually have to reapply for mine every 5 years. Doesn't matter how successful you are, how much money you have. So they can still deny you. Yeah, they could still deny me. Well, once you have a waiver, once you're approved for a waiver and you keep on getting approved, they can't deny you at the border once you have the waiver. But they could deny my application every 5 years. They would have to need reason. I mean, as long as, you know, you're not – yeah, exactly. You have to submit all the time. You do your fingerprints. You haven't got any charges in the past 5 years. You're still a good – every 5 years, you got to do your fingerprints. You got to show that you haven't got charged with anything. But yes, if you don't have any other charges and you don't have anything, you're a member of society. After hey, that, you know, Trent, owner of Extra City and this, whatever, you're, you know, they, I mean, knock on wood, hope they never deny me. But yeah, that's the whole thing, right? Just to get us in the system. And, but anyways, that's a whole other podcast for a whole other day. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. And
But like, that's why, like with my school, I was in law and society. So I got accepted into the law course.
Okay.
I went into night school because basically I was working full time. I was living alone for a year. So like I was working during the day. So I went into night school. I'm just finishing. I'm still in the law and society, but in night school. And I'm completing all my social science class because I was in school for a while. So I basically completed all my law classes, but I still had my social science class left. So I'm just doing that. And then I'm going to go into uni and go as a psychologist into psychology because you can be a lawyer for your own company, but you still need to follow the system and the rules in some type of way. And I think I'm traumatized that I don't want to be in the position of messing up somebody's life because the system's telling me to do so. So I rather help them and speak to them.
That's what I was going to say. So the flawed system made you not want to do law anymore.
And after that, I was like, no, I'm going to be a psychologist. At least I'm in the system. But like everything someone tells me, it's confidential and I can actually try to help them as much as I can, rather than being in front of a judge. You're helping them, but like you're not really in charge of what's going to happen, the outcome for them. So like, I can't be a lawyer anymore. Yeah.
I understand. Which is sad because what we need is we need people like you in the system, becoming lawyers, fighting for people, right? And then becoming judges and then becoming lawmakers or being politicians. Yeah. See, that's the unfortunate part about our community is that we get upset about the system, but don't realize that we need to be in the system to fix
the system. I'll be in the system on the psychology part. The
yeah. But hey, listen, I'm no different, right? I'm not in politics or anything, but all right. So, so to get back onto legacy, so now you're 23 years old, and what a lot of people don't realize is that, I know it's a little bit morbid, but you're dead longer than you're alive, right? We're not on this earth. We're only on this earth for a certain amount of time. But the beauty in that is that while we are alive, we are living for our legacy, right? So you're living for your legacy right now. So when I look at your Instagram and I see you with your prosthetic leg in, like you said, in a skirt, you're in a bikini, you're on the beach, you're posing with your friends. Like your Instagram looks like every other 23-year-old's Instagram, you know, and shout out to you for that and empowering yourself and empowering others. So are you cognizant of the things that you're doing? Are you thinking about that other people are looking and watching you? And if you are, like, what is the legacy that you would like to leave for Tony Grant? What would you like people to know and learn from your story and your journey?
I actually know that some people are looking on my page. I wish there was more. I have been trying to get into modeling and different stuff because it's hard, especially in Montreal. It's a lot of ripoffs and a lot of take your money and then don't give you anything. So I've done a few of those and ended up being ripped off. I would love to give off the image for the generation coming that like being beautiful does not mean of the standards of social media. It's how you feel. The most beautiful thing is self-love. If you don't love yourself, like you can still be the most gorgeous person, but it's not like if you're not comfortable with yourself, you can still see that in somebody. So like me, I want to show like the upcoming generations that like having one leg, being a bit bigger than like what the view of social media thinks is beautiful, you're still gorgeous, like you're still pretty, you still need to like keep pushing no matter what. People, my biggest thing is when people can't tell me that I can't do something, I push to it and show them that I can do it. So like, I don't know, my legacy is just like being self-love and like showing that like you can go through hell and back and still be a normal 23-year-old posting and ripping off legs and having fun on the beach with your friends. Like, it doesn't stop you. Like, yes, you might hit a bump in your life, but it's how you deal with the aftermath. Like, if you decide to deal and put yourself in a depression hole and deal with that, that's what your life's going to be. If you push yourself to the other road and try to, like, as much as you can, try to be happy, live your life to the fullest, and like just be comfortable with yourself. Like that's the biggest thing that I had to learn throughout my years of like dealing with cancer was self-love and like just being with one with myself. That like now, like when anybody tries to insult me, I always have the best comebacks to come back at them. They're like, oh, like I'm sorry. Like I'm like, yeah, like you try, like I love myself. You can't say anything to make me feel like I'm less than you. Like I like I'm Oof, no matter what I like you can try to make me feel like I'm less than you, but like at the end of the day I went through more. Like yeah, I went through more than you and I'm still here happy and we're still at the same bar, we're still hanging out in the same place and look, I'm still here. Like no one can try to make me feel less than I am, because with my mom and how confident she is and my sister, like they always pushed me to be the strongest woman I can be. And my mom was a single mom, so I watched her be one of the strongest women that she can be. My mom, you can come.
Oh, perfect timing. Hi, hi. Mom. How I'm are talking. You? Oh, really? Do you remember me? Hold on, I totally remember you exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot you can't hear me. I remember you. You look the exact same from 10 years ago. Like, I would see you on the street and totally remember you.
And you got longer hair. Yeah. So you last.
I know, I got longer hair, I got a bigger beard.
Everything's good? Everything's
yeah, good. Thank you. Everything is you're super blessed, good. Yes, yes. Well,
you know what? You deserve to be blessed. Yes, you're a good thank person. You. You do good things. And I like that. And you thank made a you difference so much. In my daughter's life. So that's what matters.
Thank you. Well, now the next thing will be, my goal is to try to get her a modeling contract. She just told me like that's what her legacy is going to be. So we're going to try to put her on our Instagram. We're trying to get her to, you know, I was in modeling for a little while. I haven't done it in the past 10 years, but hopefully somebody sees this and we'll pick it up.
You know? She's definitely very photogenic, let me tell you. And she likes the camera.
Oh, for sure. She's beautiful.
And she got a lot of
yeah, for sure, right? Well, keep on being amazing. And, you know, you've been such a, like, a great example. And, like, when people are here and talking about Tony's story and listening to her story, like, you know, there's going to be parents that are listening. And to know that, you know, like what you instilled and what you put into Tony, like, you probably just take it for granted, but it's so important, you know, especially her dad not being there as a single mom, like everything that you put into her, like that's crazy, you know, and you had to put yourself aside a little bit to give her more.
It was a journey, but it was a journey that I didn't want her to feel, especially after losing her leg. I didn't want her to feel like she was different than anyone else. I didn't allow her in the home to feel like she had a disability. Like Tony would play the leg game every now and then, right? Like, oh, mom, can you get that? No. You have a leg, put it on. You go get that. So it was never
nice.
Making her feel like she was different than anyone. You know, I mean, there's days that I don't even feel like, I don't even realize the leg's gone, right? You know, and her confidence.
So you normalized her. You're like, no, you're the normal 15-year-old little girl. You're going to clean the house. You're going to wash your dishes. You're going to do all that.
Do my laundry, everything.
So it's that old, Really? Oh, I love that. I'm going to put a round of applause for that. That is so good. People don't realize how much normalizing things makes the rest of your life normal and makes everything just so much easier for you, right? If you would have pet and powdered her the whole time, she would have grown up wanting to be pet and powdered by everybody, and the world's not going to do that.
And that's one thing I said, nope, she's going to be a strong woman growing up in this world, you know, and she's going to deal with everything. And I remember Toni when she... After her cancer battle, because she missed a lot of her elementary school, she went to high school, her first year of high school. And she says to me, Mom, I'm wearing my skirt today because it was uniform at Riverdale, right? And I'm like, you sure you want to do that? She goes, yep. She goes, I want all the questions asked today and it's over with and done and that's it. And that's what she did. She went in her skirt.
Wow.
She said, this is what I'm going to do. I said, okay, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. But, you know, she's a strong girl.
That's amazing.
She's my hero. I'm so proud of her, you know. And I'm thankful to God that she's still here with me, you know, because a cancer journey, you don't know which way that's going to go, right? You know, but she's
exactly.
Driving.
And still annoying her.
Yeah, she still drives me crazy.
Good. She's like, my mom is yelling. Mom, I'm doing a podcast. Be quiet.
She's gossiping. I need to make sure she's stuck on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. Yeah, facts. It. Anyways, shout out to you. Shout out to you for being a strong mom and, you know, putting all of this greatness into Toni and, like, you know, shout out to you, man.
Nice talking to you. I'm going to go finish cooking for Toni now.
All right. All right. Take care. Yeah. That was a fun little addition.
My twin.
Yeah, that's cute. Yeah, she looks the exact same. It's so crazy. It's looking exactly the same as when I met her 10 years ago.
It's crazy now.
That's hilarious. So your legacy you know is normalizing being a cancer survivor, being an amputee, and I think that's like the biggest takeaway for me, right? It's well, the two biggest takeaways is you know, go to therapy, because that's so crazy to me. Like, you have a prosthetic leg, like you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, this girl must have issues, insecurity issues, all of this stuff because of her leg. And you're like, no, my dad leaving me was the biggest issue that I had to get over in my life. You know, that's amazing. So, you know, that's the lesson for just anybody else here listening. Sometimes the obvious thing that you think is bothering you,
Exactly.
And some professional help might help that. And the other takeaway is normalizing anything that you have, you know, whether you have something less or something more, you know, we're all humans. The same thing, like, you know, talking with Taya, being a trans woman, or all my
other guests. She went to my high school. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I know you guys know each other.
And I remember she left. It was really, apparently it was, I believe she wore like a skirt and then the principal kicked her out. And it was a big thing in Riverdale. We were just like, why are you going to like kick her out? Like, that makes no sense. And, like, I loved her. I remember she was like, Toni! I'm like, oh, my God!
She was
the best energy in the school, and then they just let her leave. And I was like,
oh, my gosh, Taya's crazy.
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
She was the best thing here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, yeah,
she's
great.
Amazing. And that's what she's doing. That's what you're doing. You're just normalizing. She's a trans woman. She's normalizing it. You're a cancer survivor, amputee, and you're normalizing it. You're on your Facebook normalizing it. You know, coming on in on podcasts. And I know you just said, like, you go to the War Amps and talk. So just continue normalizing it. Like, we're all humans. We all have a story and we all have something like amazing to learn from. So, you know, shout out to you. And, if you ever get arrested again, make sure you call
hopefully.
Me. I got lawyers.
Hopefully, it will never happen again. I'm very like,
yes.
Smile now. And I'm like, hi.
Exactly. I was about to say, keep your ass out of trouble. All right,
my friends are ready to catch an attitude. I'm like, relax. Like, at the end of the day, this like, you show any type of rudeness, you're getting arrested. I'm not coming with you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's not
exactly. Yeah, as much as I get on cops, I also get on us too. Cops have a job to do, and they're there to do their job. So, you know, I always got to respect police officers at the same time. But yeah, stay out of trouble, continue, keep on going in school. And, you know, I hope to maybe have you on the show again in a couple of years to just figure out, you know, where you're at now. But I know
hopefully by then I'll have a modeling agency that we can actually.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, call Taya. Taya's like huge in modeling. I'm sure she has some connection. Is there any amputee models out there right now, like popular? I know there's people modeling.
One girl, I don't know. I forgot. I always forget her name. But she has the same surgery as me. And she's actually a modeler. Like,
no way.
I did a brand for Dream of Anastasia. And I did her first collection. Mm. And then the next collection, she was there. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's so cool. Like,
oh, no. No, so you got I didn't get to meet her
because, unfortunately, it was during COVID. Okay. So she only had specific spots to do the modeling. So, like, she actually chose her instead of me because, like, she said there was, like, no point to do two amputees. But I think that she should have. But it would have been great to meet her. But she actually follows me. I think her name is Allison. Allison something. When she followed me, I was like, oh, my God. Oh my God,
that's amazing.
So yeah, like there's a few, but like there's not many that I know that are models with my surgery. She's the only one that I know that actually has my surgery and does modeling. Yeah.
Nice. Well, shout out to her, and I hope that you know, is she Canadian or American?
She's Canadian. She's always in Canada. I think she's Canadian. Canadian.
Well, we need to get some of that American money for you. So I have some following in the U.S. So hopefully somebody sees this and gives you a call.
They can't be waiting to get a pizza place.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So tell people where they can follow you. What's your Instagram? What are your handles? How can they support?
On Instagram, it's Trin Grant. And I also have a TikTok, which is 444 Trin 444. And then, yeah, like I have Facebook, which is Trin Grant. It's always the name Trin Grant for everything, except for my TikTok.
And what's Trin?
My name is Toni Amber Trinise Grant. So I was very insecure with, okay, so this is one thing. I was always insecure with my name Toni because everyone always thought I was a boy. Like, I would go to friends' house and be like, I thought you were going to be a boy. And I'm like, I'm a girl. Like, hi.
And now you love it, right?
Yeah, I love my name. So what I say now, real people that I like know me as Toni. Every other person that like doesn't really know me knows me as Trin. So like I just kind of kept the social media as Trin Grant, but it's actually originally from my middle name, Trinise.
Oh god, I thought it was
Trini too. Like, most people do think that, right?
Oh, you are Trini?
I am
I thought you were Jamaican Irish, for some reason.
Spanish, Trini, Bajan, Scotian, and Chinese.
That is a mix. So welcome to Montreal, people. You know, Montreal people are all so mixed. Even over Canada, we're all mixed.
My mom's from Nova Scotia, so she's a huge mix. Like,
yeah,
she has a huge mix too. I don't even calculate what she has because I probably have more.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right. Well, everybody out there, go out and follow Trin Grant on Instagram. Show her some love. Woo! Add some modeling agencies. Add some people to support my girl, Toni Grant. Thank you so much for coming on, being my second guest.
I feel honored.
This is
amazing.
And we're going to follow up with you. Oh my gosh. The honor is all mine. Thank you so much. There we go. Right, stay on. Okay. 1 second. Hey.
Powered by Riverside.